comes down to break us, hear the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all.
And to your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to the Evangelist St. Luke.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
At that time, Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bearing witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. The Lord said this parable, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' Then the servant of the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me that thou owest.' And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, 'Have patience with me and I will pay thee all.' And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay his debt. So when his fellow servant saw all that was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, 'O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desired me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?' And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due to him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." The Lord said to his disciples, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he who to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light."
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
Please be seated. Today we have embarked on a long service, for sure, but one which is fitting to commemorate the beginning of the church year. And so again, we start to go through the church calendar, starting with today and this great passage of scripture which the Lord read from the prophet Isaiah, proclaiming himself from the prophets from 700 years beforehand. This world stands desperately in need of a Savior. We saw in the two other Gospels the Lord speaking about a man who didn't forgive. And at the end, he speaks about how this world will be thrown into everlasting fire, the pit prepared for the devil and the angels. So sad. Humankind needs salvation. We're wicked, and we need to have our sins forgiven. And we need to be where God is forevermore. And the Lord said in the other gospel, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. What a Savior we have. And it's he that we'll examine today as we look at the epistle and the gospel for this particular day, this first day of September. As we celebrate this year, this beginning of this church year, we need to focus on the words of Isaiah that we see repeated by the Lord. As he opened the Holy Scriptures, it says, as was his wont. This was not the first time he'd stood and read the Scriptures, but it's the first time when he opened the Scriptures and then applied them to himself. And so he begins his earthly, outward, open ministry as the Christ. And he starts off by proclaiming the words of Isaiah, which we'll read in just a minute. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, spoke several things about who Jesus really was. The Jews who saw him stand in the synagogue that day didn't recognize who Jesus was. They recognized who he was as the one that had dwelt among them, as the carpenter's son, Joseph's son, but they didn't recognize who he really was. And so before we go to that passage in the gospel, we need to consider a little about who Jesus is. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said that there's a way to behave, praying, giving supplications, giving thanks for all men, prayers, intercessions, all these things. He said they're good that we pray, that we live a quiet life, a peaceable life, in all godliness and honesty. And he says, for that is good, and that's acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. You see, we believe in the Christian faith that Jesus wasn't just a good man, but that he was God. And therefore, as God, he's our Savior. And the Apostle Paul points us to this fact, which is crucial in understanding our religion, that Christ is God. He's not just a man. He's not what the Jews saw standing before them in their ignorance. Perhaps their ignorance was justified at the beginning of his ministry, but not at the end. And when Paul wrote, he wrote to us that there's things that we do that are good and acceptable to God, our Savior. And then he says, who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth? The Savior came to save. It's interesting, in the book of Isaiah, there's many things written after what Jesus read. He spoke about judgment, and he stopped and said, came to proclaim the acceptable year of our Lord. He didn't go on to the rest of the passage, which speaks about judgment. Because when he came down, and he was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and he grew up in that town of Nazareth, he came as a Savior, and he wants all men to be saved. And that salvation is found in coming to a knowledge of the truth. John the Apostle wrote, and he said that Jesus is the way. And Jesus said to one who came to him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. This truth is not just intellectual truth that we can kind of understand with our brains, but it's spiritual truth. And salvation hinges upon coming to a knowledge of the truth. That truth truly is doctrinal, but it's more than that. It's that we know a person, Jesus Christ, who is the truth, who's the way, who's the life. He came to be our Savior, and he came to show us himself as truth. Everything about him was truth. Paul goes on and speaks about this one who's Savior and God. He says there's one God, he says, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. One mediator. No man comes to the Father but through him. Right? The rest of that book, that passage in the book of John, that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's why he's said to be the one mediator. And he comes as a mediator who came as a priest, who gave himself as a sacrifice and brought that sacrifice, as we spoke about last week, into the heavenly places. And there he's seated forevermore. In the book of Hebrews, as we're going through Hebrews, we're seeing the ministry of Christ as the eternal high priest. This priest that we have is our mediator, but he's also God. He came to save us. He came to be our God. He came to show us himself as truth. But most importantly, he came to be a ransom for all of us, to be testified of in due time. When Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross, he sacrificed himself as an offering far more precious than all the offerings that were brought into the holy tabernacle by the priests throughout the centuries. He came as an eternal sacrifice, whoever lives to make intercession for us as a priest, as a mediator before God. His sacrifice on the cross qualifies him to be your Savior. And now in the heavenly places, he wants you to be saved. When he spoke in the temple that day, in the synagogue, when Jesus opened the book and read, he came to show us what he came to do and what his salvation really is all about. He says he stood up in the synagogue in the Sabbath that day and he read, and it was delivered unto him as if by chance, the prophecy of Isaiah. And so Jesus opened the book and he found the place where it was written and he began to read. When he quoted, the Jews couldn't figure out who this verse applied to. They were trying to figure out who was the Spirit of the Lord upon. Even as he wrote, they had no idea the Spirit of the Lord could rest upon someone who would also be their Savior. They were confused, and perhaps rightly so. Don't forget, Jesus had been veiled in a way. He'd lived as a young man, as a child amongst them, not doing miracles, not doing special healings. The few glimpses that we have into his early life show him as being incredibly wise and teaching teachers and praying and doing holy things and not sinning, but not doing open miracles. And so, perhaps rightly, the Jews were confused when he began to read. And what he said, quoting Isaiah, the great prophet, was as follows. He said, this is what I came to do. This is my ministry. I'm beginning my ministry. We begin the church year reading this. He began to read, and he said, quoting Isaiah, first of all, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Christ means anointed one. And so Christ was claiming there that the Spirit of God was anointing him as a Christ, as anointed one, but not just with oil from a priest, but the Spirit of God dwelt in him fully, that he was one with the Spirit. And so this anointing is a special anointing. It's far above what normal anointings had been for kings and for prophets. This was a special anointing of the Spirit of God. And so when he spoke as an anointed one, as a Christ. To preach, he says, the gospel. Gospel means simply good news. But he says he came to preach not a gospel, one of many, but the gospel. There's only one gospel that truly delivers. There's only one Savior. If he could say, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He said, I'm preaching the gospel, the one gospel. And then he says, I preached it to the poor. The poor includes every person who in weakness and humility can look outside of himself and unto God for relief. We are all poor. We all need a Savior. Perhaps we don't see ourselves as poor as we really are until we meet the judgment of God. As the one in the other gospel who refused to forgive when God's mercy had been shed upon him. Too often, people don't look at themselves as poor until it's too late to become rich in Christ. And he says that he was sent, the prophet Isaiah said, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. All of us have sorrow in our life. Sometimes very deep sorrow and pain. We have loss because of broken dreams. We have loss because of broken homes. We have loss because of dashed hopes. And loss because of loss of expectations. How we thought life would turn out doesn't often occur. And on the way towards our eventual leaving of this earth, there's many occasions where we need healing for broken hearts. The Christ was sent to preach the gospel to the poor, to those in humility could look up. And he was sent to heal the brokenhearted. He was sent to preach deliverance to the captives. We need deliverance. We need to be set free. You see, all of us are enslaved to sin. We're in bondage. And we have no freedom to do what's right, only that which is wrong. And this freedom, this lack of freedom, causes us as slaves to inflict pain on ourselves and on others. This oppression requires someone great, a Savior, to deliver us from. We are captive in sins, and there's only one who can deliver us. That's the Savior. He came also to give the recovery, he says, of sight to the blind. In our fallen world, in our fallen estate, we've been cut off from divine vision. We've lost the ability to see things the way they really are, to have a vision that precipitates out for us the things of this world and allows us to focus on things which are eternal and divine. This blindness is a spiritual blindness. And it's spiritual things that we can't see. And because we can't see spiritual things, we're caught in darkness, unable to find our way. We've lost our sight because of sin. But the Savior, this Christ, came to allow us to recover our sight and to see spiritual things. This healing, this recovery of sight, is a personal one. As when the Lord went and healed the man who had been blind from birth, giving him eyes. We need new eyes to see heavenly things. And so it is that the Savior comes for that purpose. And the last purpose that he gives us is he came to set at liberty those that are bruised. If it's true we're captive to sin, that's something which is an eternal captivity. But there is an oppression. There is a lack of liberty and a lack of freedom put upon us from the outside in the physical world. We're bruised, we're injured by people, by the devil, by his demons. Everything outside the service of God bruises us and injures us physically. And these things have effect on our spiritual life, making us wonder, does God exist? Is God there? Does God care? Is there a God? These enslavements that are put upon us from others require a strong Savior to deliver us. Only God is strong enough to break the bondage of this physical oppression that falls upon us, this removal of demons and the demoniac that occurs as we are facing all the oppression that can come upon us. This is the ultimate power of God, to take the demons, to take the devil, and deliver us from them, as well as from evil men that seek to make us captive. He said as he closed the book, to preach the acceptable year of our Lord. And it goes on in Isaiah and says, the vengeance of our God, but he left that out. There's no vengeance in the first coming. It's all for our salvation. This preaching the acceptable year has two meanings. One is that today, this year, this time, this place, now is the day of salvation. Hear the Lord while he can be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Isaiah wrote that also. This is the acceptable time to listen to the Savior, to hear the anointed, to allow the Spirit of God to rest on you this day. But also, when he speaks of the acceptable year, he's speaking of a time in eternity. It's acceptable where there's an age to come, where this acceptable life is to be found in the Savior. As he closed the book, he gave it to the minister, and he sat down. Everyone in the synagogue had their eyes fastened on him. They were wondering, who is this anointed one? Who is this Christ? Who is this one that Isaiah spoke about? You could have heard a pin drop. It was the moment that the Holy Spirit had prepared the Lord Jesus Christ for. And he began and said unto them this, simple words. He said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He said, I am the Christ. I am the anointed one. I am here to preach the gospel to the poor, to give liberty to the captives, the recovering of sight to those who cannot see because of sin, to set at liberty all those that are bruised by men and by demons, and to preach the acceptable year of our Lord. They weren't able to receive that right then. But in the next 3 years, the Lord Jesus gave to men, to the Jews and the Gentiles, what they needed to understand that truly he was anointed. And his ministry was eternal. And his ministry was as God, and his ministry was all powerful to the forgiveness of sins. Truly, as Paul said, the Lord wants all men to be saved. In this life, we will have many problems. We will be encompassed about by sins. But we have a Savior. We don't need to lose hope. This Savior and his gospel is being proclaimed throughout the world today. 2,000 years later, it's still resounding everywhere with power and resonating in the hearts of all those that will receive this truth that Jesus Christ is God and that he is able to save. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to God.